Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're going to be at State Fair on Friday morning, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll have some holiday cash drops to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I'm actually wearing my Window Nation t-shirt underneath of my Cole Roofing t-shirt. My wife hasn't made me coffee yet today, so I do not have a Cole Roofing mug, but I will before the end of this segment. With Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He usually comes on. I mean, sometimes we talk about the state of the world. Sometimes we talk about politics. A lot of times we'll talk about the city or life in the city or life in the county or his kids playing too many sports. And then we sort of fall back on the old, hey, what do you think is going to happen to Lamar, man? What do you think? You think they're going to trade him, man? I mean, I think they should blank. So this is the week where you had your opinions. I had my opinion. This is the week where I've gone all in on the fact that I think they will sign and trade him. That's what I think will happen. So people say to me, what do you think's going to happen? That's what I say. What do you say, Bill Cole? And happy good new week to you. And, you know, it's roofs are good. Everything's good out there, pal.
Yeah. Happy new week to you, too. Maybe we get a little taste of winter here sooner or later. I don't know.
You need that as a roofer, don't you? Aren't you like one of those guys that plows snow like you're pissed because you didn't get
it off? No, we don't do too much of that. I mean, we just need the freeze-thaw cycle. That's what kind of destroys roofs. So,
right, like, exactly. Okay, good. I just wanted to know what was destructive. That's
a terrible thing. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to root for.
I need controversy. I need the quarterback and the team to not get along. And when that happens, ratings. No, right. I mean, I don't really wish for that any more than you wish for snow and ice to help roofs. It just happens.
It seems sort of dangerous to sign and trade him. Because then you're like right or wrong. Like if you can somehow spin it, where it's all Lamar's fault, like he wasn't going to sign with us unless we made this trade. You know.
So when you see Hayden Hurst running around this weekend, and when you see Orlando Brown Jr. running around this weekend, you almost saw Wink Martindale running around this weekend. By the way, we came close to that. You know, they weren't good enough, obviously, but we don't look at them in some way. And every time Hayden Hurst catches the ball, it's a thing, right? He's a leaper, he's a jumper, he's a dot, like all that. I don't say, that was a failed first-round draft pick for the Ravens, or that was, he screwed that up, or, you know. And I guess that's because Lamar worked out and they drafted him four later and they got rid of him. We have Mark Andrews, so allegedly, we don't need Hayden Hurst. We could use Marquise Brown, though.
I still resent Hayden Hurst. I mean, I had to go back and look what we got for him, so I guess that was a good deal, but I still am like, damn it. Why didn't that guy do that when he was here? So, I mean, I don't even remember him being healthy enough to do that kind of stuff when he was here, but maybe it wasn't a health thing. Maybe
people poop on Eric's drafting, right? And I'm like, hold on, man. Every year they have an offensive lineman that goes and gets $100 million from somebody. You know, Ricky Wagner did that. Ryan Jensen did that. Kelechi Osemele did that, right? I mean, they're about to lose one of their guys now because they just let offensive linemen go, right? So I would say they've put a lot of good players in other places. Hollywood Brown, you could take the jury out on him or whatever, but I would say trading other players to other places, that's how this works, right? And if you get three number ones, it's incumbent upon you to turn one of those into Joe Burrow or whatever the next thing's going to be for you. Joe Flacco, at least. How about that?
Doesn't make me as a fan not resent the guys that used to be here and are now playing and making plays for other teams. Like,
you don't
still
like guys that leave here. Is that a thing for you?
It still pisses me off.
Did this start with Reggie Jackson and Don Baylor? Is that where this started?
I don't like guys that leave here and then go do well. Like, they should be done, right, when they leave here or whatever. I mean, I get it. It's all
Every pass Anquan Boldin caught in 2014 was, a civic.
So, like, Mahomes has a bad wheel and was, like, visibly upset because they told him to go back and get it checked out. He didn't want to because I think he was worried about what it might show. But he did, and he taped it up, and he came back, and he played. And I guarantee you that thing is injured. Like, I think that thing is pretty nasty, and he's gonna have to boot it up and do some stuff and tape it up, and the other team's gonna maybe accidentally fall into his legs a couple times to see.
There is a tradition of that in the AFC Championship game, if you're not familiar with that, right?
And all I would say is, like, when you're trying to compare yourself to those types of guys and get that kind of money, that's a very different feeling than our guy not being willing to suit up, not willing to go with the team. And to your point, I think last week was like, we don't really know how hurt he is, and the story has been told poorly, so we can't.
I think the Ravens know how hurt he is.
Sure.
Right. I mean, the Ravens put doctors in there, and they came out and said, this is a slight thing. He'll be back by Christmas. That's what the medical staff was advising the team about their $23 million leader. Right. And at some point, the trust went away, right?
Right.
And whether he's being dishonorable, less than honest, doesn't want to play, Roger Dorning, whatever it is, the Ravens did not go out of their way to protect him from that at the time. Now that it's over with, that press conference last Thursday, I mean, bravo, Eric, bravo, Jeff. That was almost like sort of Pacino and De Niro getting an Oscar. Although Eric failed. Eric was sitting there taking notes and not looking up and sweating his ass off. And like, I'm thinking to myself, oh my, I said 6 months from now, let's see how that press conference goes. When they're like, we love Lamar. Lamar's the most exciting player. Lamar's the best player. Lamar's a Buccaneer. What? Right. Right. Like we're 6 weeks away from that.
Is Roger Dorning like one of those in the new age dictionary or whatever? Like that, like that's a good reference.
New dictionary. The movie's from 1989, right?
Okay.
But Roger Dorn said it out loud. If you think I'm gonna waste this talent and this perfect body on your last place crappy baseball team, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So, but Lamar Jackson, this wasn't about your last. You play your whole life waiting to win a playoff game. You've only won one. You may never get to another one. You might never. Ask Cal Ripken. You might never get to another one. But, you know, Lamar's got all his cocky and all his bravado and all of his.
And as football goes, we were two plays away from, you know, beating the Bengals. As strangely and bizarrely as that is, that's the NFL and that's football. And you were two plays away. So, you know, would it have been meaningful if he would have played at 75%? Sure seems like it might have been.
Here's my question, and this would be the fan question, which is, and this would be the question that I would have asked in the press conference last week. It would have pissed them off, and they would have thrown me out all over again. If he was under contract and he was paid, and you gave him, and you agreed in the offseason of 180, 230, whatever the magic number that would have gotten him to sign, would he have played?
Right.
Like, and only Lamar knows that, right?
Sure.
And Lamar doesn't have an agent. But all of us asking that question means we don't trust him, right? Like, literally, if you have to ask your kids, did you do your homework? And they say yes. And you're like, all right, let me see it. Let me see it. That's different. That's I don't trust you, right?
It's healthy skepticism because they're a child, right? So... sure, I have the child version of trust, but I also have healthy skepticism because I was a child. And sometimes we're still learning the definition of honesty at that point. He's a grown man.
Well, you are a parent. You've explained this recently, haven't you?
He's a grown man. Well, we have child trust problems all the time. Sure.
My kid hasn't lied to me in 20 years. It's one. Now, when he was 14, I hated him, you know, but like at 37, 38, my kid doesn't lie about anything.
Right.
It's like me. He can't lie. I'm incapable of lying. I'm the worst liar in the world.
That's a deep, dark hole to go down because there's some allowed lying in our universe. And until you get on the other side of the allowed lying, you know,
well, the allowed lying is for the Ravens to say, we love Lamar. He was hurt. He couldn't
all play. Kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. There's, you know, I think my children are more exposed to politics, right, than I was at their age. Like, it's just much more part of our universe now. And they at a young age realize that that people are lying, like that this doesn't make sense, that that's probably not true. And well, why would they say something that's not true? Well, you know, there's things that we don't understand that we don't know. And, you know, they have to keep people calm or blah, blah, blah. I mean, they went through a pandemic, right? So like, there's all kinds of education that occurred there that you and I didn't get at 10 or 12 years old, that, you know, all we needed to worry about was where the ball was or where the girls were, or where the ball was.
All we have to ask was, why did we not get that from Santa Claus? Now they want to know why they can't walk out of the house without a mask, right? That's a different level of why in 2020 for anyone of, you know, younger, anyone under high school age, I would say. It's incredible education.
Right. And I think we always take that healthy skepticism to sports, because they've all lied to us for years, forever. And it's like strategy. Like, well, my quarterback is questionable, or he's probable, or he didn't show up on the injury list, but now he's not playing, or he showed up on the injury list, but now he's 100%.
Or Robert Graham issuing the tweet the next day saying Lamar didn't go to Cincinnati because he was sick.
Right.
Well, nobody else said that. Lamar didn't say it. Nobody said that, but okay. All right.
So like, are you going to sign him? Are you not going to sign? Like that strategery, as we like to call it, when it's a loud lying, it's strategy, it's deception, it's game planning, you know,
gamesmanship.
Right. Sure. It's like teaching kids about fouls in basketball. Like they go into basketball thinking that they don't want any fouls, because in a lot of other games, kind of like fouls, like in soccer, you don't get a number of fouls, but you're trying not to commit fouls, right?
Well, in hockey, you get 2 minutes, right? Hockey's real world. Hockey's go to jail, go directly to jail, go think about it, go feel shame, and maybe your team will give up a goal and we'll let you out.
Right. So teaching them that they give you five of them, so you're supposed to use four, and you have to use them strategically to not give up layups, or, you know, you try and make a steal and you, it's okay. Right. You run into, it's fine. And then, I mean, when they're really young, they're like crying, like their first foul, they get called on. They're like bawling, like they broke some massive life rule, and it's, you got to build them back up. So I don't even know how the fouls came into it, but the idea of gamesmanship and strategy and the lying and pushing the envelope and all the head stuff that goes in, that I think where I want to go with that is, why does Lamar think he has the skill set and the experience to play that game when every other player, even, you know, like you could say that the worst guy on the roster needs that guy to try and make sure he has a job, and the best guy on the roster needs to try and get max contract. So even the guy in the middle who, you know, an agent isn't even going to do that much good for him. Like he's a serviceable backup left guard, right? Been in the league for 10 years, needs a new contract. He'll get one. If he had an agent, maybe he'd get an extra $100,000 or something, but you know, generally it's known. That guy, okay, he's been in the league for 10 years, this third contract. Yeah, if he paid attention along the way, he could probably manage that himself, right? Like the downside ain't that big of a deal. You're not in heated negotiations. You're not pushing the envelope. You're not going to sit out, like none of that.
But you need an agent to call teams when you're a free agent. Like Lamar didn't have an agent because he's like, I'm going to get drafted. And it dropped him in the draft, not being represented. It did. Sure. And it really affected the last 2 months of his career in Baltimore, not having an agent, not having a spokesperson, not having a professional voice for him. And
it hurt him his entire time in Baltimore. Like, if you have an agent, maybe the right play for Lamar was to have Marquise Brown in town. Like maybe the right play for Lamar was to push the GM to get a number one receiver, right? To go alongside your world-class tight end.
And the quarterback doesn't go into Eric's office and put his feet up and do that. That is done by an agent. An agent calls and says, look, I know you want to keep Lamar. I know you love Lamar. Lamar wants to sign here, but Lamar needs wide receivers, pal. Like, so, you know, I mean, Jerry Maguire. We all saw Jerry Maguire, right? Right. Like, literally, for that to be missing and for anyone to think that that's prudent or smart or good for him, he's his own man, it's naive. It's unprofessional. And somebody's like, well, he can represent himself. It's fine. Okay. Well, now you see the cost of that, right? Like, literally, there's a cost.
I am an advocate as much as anybody for, like, getting rid of middlemen and, like, removing deal friction. And, like, there's a lot of problems in the universe about how we could be getting better quality or paying less for items if there wasn't so much historical baggage, like, that we used to need, but now with the internet and other stuff, maybe we don't need some stuff anymore. Like, you know, like real estate agents, right? Like, I thought for sure, once I can go on the internet and look at all the listings, like, how the heck are the real estate agents going to continue to participate? And you know what they do? They negotiate on your behalf, or they help show your house to more people. So they figured out a way to continue to provide value even in a digital age. But, like, having Lamar think he could do this is just so disappointing. Like, and I get it.
You get a max contract and negotiate.
You
don't want
to give up
contract.
The money, fine. But like, somebody needs to have that money discussion with him, right? Like how did, maybe they didn't even sit with an agent, but you're telling me there wasn't an agent who could sit down and literally explain the problems or explain the value that they bring to the situation, like you said.
Well, I think Eric could explain any of this stuff to him, but it's still the other side.
This is textbook, right? Like, if you're an agent, you should write down the last 12 months of Lamar's career as the perfect white paper on why you need me.
Wow. Right? Yeah. You know, and if I get, you know, Andrew Brandt on or anybody in that space that talks about it, I think no one wants to be critical of the kid. That's the other thing. He's likable. No one wants to stand up and say he's not a great passer.
I want to see him be great.
Mahomes is. He's not that guy. He hasn't played playoff games in 2 years. Look, I had Alan McCallum on the other day, and Alan is not a football fan at all. He's a baseball fan, right? Like, he's straight baseball guy, baseball 30 years, and he barely watches football. And he said to me when the show was over, and I'm outing him a little bit, but we were just talking when it was all over. He's like, does anybody think Lamar Jackson's a knucklehead besides me? Like, he hasn't played. He's AWOL. He's not around. He wants more money than anybody's ever gotten. All of it guaranteed in a sport that doesn't guarantee it. Like, am I the only guy out here watching this and scratching my head and saying, let that guy go? You know what I mean? Like, get another player. But that's a baseball mindset, too. Like, to say, we'll just get another catcher. We'll get another shortstop. The quarterback thing is, the question I keep getting with Lamar is, well, if it's not him, who's going to be our quarterback? Derek Carr? Taylor Heineke? You know, like, Is that what Steve Pisciotti wants to sell to the fans in September? But I don't think Steve cares about tickets. I know he doesn't care about media. I don't think he cares about anything other than sale price. Steve's off on a boat, and Steve's not a part of this. And I think, you know,
I would take 2 years with Derek Carr. Like, while you're rebuilding and reforming and trying to figure out.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think we win a lot of games here with Derek Carr. Yeah,
I agree. Especially with that middle linebacker you just paid for. Like, I like him a lot, you know?
So do they, right?
Right.
I mean, like, I talked to Luke earlier this week, even off the air with Luke, and he's like, I wouldn't be giving an off-the-ball inside linebacker $20 million a year. Like, I think that's an outrageous amount of money to give him, even though you love him. And I think to myself, well, they didn't love the defense without him. They saw what it looked like without him. And they've also seen what this offense looks like without Lamar. And I think what they think is, well, we wouldn't have this offense if we didn't have Lamar. But, you know, this was an experiment, right? I mean, John called this an experiment 4 years ago. Then he called it a revolution. Now, I think if they were to push the cards back in, walk away and say, we're going to deal Lamar, they would totally go back to something of a normal offense.
Well, I think what always happens, and this is just the world, like, you push to one extreme And then you realize that there's this place in the middle that, like, the Lamar experiment will have permanently changed football, at least for the next decade, right? Like, RPOs and, like, dedicated quarterback runs off tackle with the fullback and putting the guard at the fullback position and bringing the ineligible or eligible lineman and he's the tight, you know, all of that run heavy stuff. Like, that's not going away. People are putting that in. They're just not saying.
It's still hard to stop.
Of course, but they're not saying, I'm going to do that on first, second, and third down. And as long as I get 3.5 yards each time, we're going to get a first down. And the minute we get an offsides or an illegal motion or a hold, we're going to punt because we're just never going to get a first down otherwise. And I don't, I'm not saying that's what the Ravens conceded to, but that's the purest grinded out plan that is there. Look, I think there are a lot of recipes to go ahead and look at this weekend. Like, look at the 49ers and what they're managing to do with the kid appears to be serviceable as a rookie quarterback.
He's not as good a quarterback as Derek Carr.
I don't think so. But
if they had Derek Carr right now, they'd have a better chance of winning in Philadelphia Sunday.
But that guy uses formations to get opportunities for his players to make plays. The quarterback knows where that advantage is on the play. So he doesn't have to go through progression, right? Like, I'm going to get my guy on a dude who is slower and shorter than my guy. Just chuck him the ball. He'll make a play. He's a Pro Bowl guy, right? Like, so you've got that. I think even if you look at Cincinnati and you look at the tools, I mean, sure, they have a quarterback who appears to be really good, but they also have a lot of people. I mean, I would have told you that Buffalo would have smacked them. Like, Cincinnati's O-line was as beat up as you could be. And them guys went in there and manned up, and that wasn't even a football game. So I think there are lessons to see out there. You don't have to have a great player at every spot, but if you're going to have a suspect quarterback, you better have George Kittle, Debo, all these other guys
McCaffrey
around him. Yeah, right. Go grab a star runner.
Well, he's another guy. When they dealt for McCaffrey, they gave a king's ransom. They have to pay him a lot of money. And the thought was, well, he gets hurt all the time, right? Like, sure. that was a little bit of a knock on him because he runs into linebackers regularly, right?
Right.
I think this whole RPO thing, once the Ravens deal off Lamar and they get whatever they're going to get and do their thing, Lamar is sort of the golden child for whether the system works, right? Like, he's one of one. He can do things nobody can do. He'll get better as a passer. He's already a really good passer. He was a good passer at Louisville. That if he doesn't win playoff games and go to a Super Bowl, you'll still look at this and say it's like the run and shoot offense or like the Wildcat or whatever. Like, it's a gimmick, as Joe Flacco said. It's a high school offense. And I mean, Flacco pissed on it straight away. It's a high school offense. It's a gimmick offense. That's what he would say to anybody. And it's that until you win a Super Bowl with that. And then the question would be, all right, we love the idea. We love the gimmick. Nobody can stop it. We got these big fat linemen, all this stuff that Eric and John have put together. We got wide receivers like Willie Snead that can crack down and block. And we got Pat McCarr. We have all of that. The question then becomes, like, if they don't win with it, the Ravens are not married to this system. I can't believe that.
Right.
I can't believe that if they say life after Lamar, we'll just go back to doing things normal like everybody else does and try to win games that way. And I want to throw this in. Bill Cole's here from Cole Roofing. By the way, my wife brought me some Royal Farms coffee in my Cole Roofing mug. So I do have my Cole Roofing mug. The notion that this trade and the signing and where they are with tagging and restricted tagging and whether they would get two number ones and where they could deal them off. This next like 8 or 10 weeks for the franchise, they're going to be quiet. He's going to be quiet, all that. I'm interested to see how many other coaches, how many other offensive coordinators, and they're trying to hire an offensive coordinator right now. And I don't know what they're saying to Frank Reich about who his quarterback would be here if he takes this gig, right? And to John's point, they're all good jobs. Doesn't matter. We'll get a good quarterback. If he likes Derek Carr, we'll go get Derek Carr. But these next eight weeks, teams that want Lamar Jackson, whoever that general manager or owner, whether it's Stephen Ross, the Glazers, Amy Adams in Nashville, the Clowns kids McNair's down in Houston, whoever that ownership group is, because it's not about a GM or a coach. This is about an owner saying, all right, he's available. We have draft picks. Do whatever you need to do to bring him here so we have the sizzle. We can sell some tickets. We, you know, engage our community, like all of those things. He's Mr. Excitement. How many of those candidates are there and who are they? And like, that's what I'm trying to assess at this point, because I'm convinced that they do not want to give him guaranteed money. I'm convinced he will never take less. I don't think he's going to take $155 million of guaranteed money, because I think he's convinced the world will know, we'll pay him more. If they do restrict him, he then gets to go out and make his best deal. Who makes his best deal? Does he get on the phone with general managers and fly around and do all the Zoom calls that an agent would do to place him somewhere? All the work that Deshaun Watson's agents did, all the work that these guys that get traded, I watch these guys work in Indianapolis at the combine. I watch all the agents and I watch the representatives and Pat Moriarty sitting in the Conrad Hotel having coffee with an agent. Like, these guys are on their money. And this next 8 or 10 weeks is, it's just as much of an ish show as the whole thing has been, because he won't have, Eric doesn't have an agent to say, all right, he doesn't want to be here, go shop him.
Right.
Lamar can't shop himself.
Right.
So like, this is even more crazy. And it's even crazier that John has offensive coordinators sitting in there this weekend and has to be honest with them about, you know, I love Lamar, he's our guy, or if honesty I'm done with that guy. And every press conference to me over the last 6 weeks, John Harbaugh looks really done with Lamar Jackson to me. Yeah. That's why any kumbaya that would happen. I also have John in my phone texting me last May when Lamar was going crazy and not showing up at OTAs. John wasn't happy with Lamar in May. And I know that not as a hint. I know that, like, I could show you the text. So I know that the water started to turn a little bit after the OTAs. And now that he hasn't played a second playoff game, I don't know that the smart people in the building in there aren't just done with him. Just literally, it feels to me like they're done with him. And whatever they get is whatever they get. But this, the procedure of the next 10 weeks, it's going to be crazy around, unlike anything we've seen around here.
Well, it might not be crazy because there's nobody to make it crazy, to your point, right? Like an agent would make it crazy. I think there were more suitors in October, September, right, than there are now. So, and then I always come back to, like, there are these points in history where you can't totally appreciate them at that time, but when you look back, it's like, oh no, that was the warning sign. His first year, when we made it to the playoffs, and maybe a second year, whatever. And I think we played the Chargers.
That was the first year.
Okay. And the Chargers changed their defense.
Played a 9-2 is what they played.
Right. Yeah. And moved their safeties into linebacker spots and, you know, just played fast and wide across the ball. So maybe to validate Flacco, maybe not. The point is, yes, the system was different enough that people were unwilling to make the changes during the season to do what they needed to do to stop it, and they would just take their best chances. But when it came time where you absolutely had to win and you will do anything to win, they dialed up a defense and they stopped them. And that was like 4 years ago. It was the warning sign, and reality and time.
Well, reality is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to throw the ball over their head. And he opened the next season against Miami and did it five times, literally, right?
Right.
And that's when he went on the tear where all the defense couldn't stop him. And now 3 years later, he's slower. Their talent isn't as good. The Ravens' talent isn't as good on offense. As I thought it fell apart with Mark Ingram. I thought Mark Ingram provided a big brother for him, provided a running back for him, provided a bodyguard for him, provided an option for him. And I think letting Mark Ingram go, I think his countenance changed. I think the big trust thing went away. Yeah.
Right. He was a grit guy, right? So, like, That dude was going to play. He was playing banged up. He was playing old. The tread on those tires was gone, right? Like, they took that away in college. So by the time he got to the pros, that guy was half done. But yeah, it was a good culture in the locker room and all that. It certainly hasn't been as fun without him, right? Even for the guys, like watching them play and watching them be a team.
We haven't had the same running back in the backfield once in the last 3 years. Right, like literally, right. Who's that guy? You know, yeah. I saw the Latavius Murray running around the other day. He was here. Bill Cole was here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. We didn't have any intention of talking about football today, but we just did a half an hour's worth. You can find him at Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Tell everybody what you do real quick before I let you get out of here.
Commercial roofing, commercial solar. Still this, you know, wave of solars coming and the IRA passed, back in the fall, and it's people are still trying to unpack it, but it's a good thing. And again, same position we've been in for a decade or 12 years now. Like, you've never bought solar before, so you should at least try and understand it. Maybe it's right for you, maybe it's not. That's okay, but we're happy to just kind of lay it out and show people the economics and show them why it would be good, and then help them make the best decision.
All right, you're going to meet me at Drug City on March 3rd. We're doing the show down there with Calvin Statham and a bunch of friends. My one of my oldest friends in the world, Ingrid Kolstad, Dr. Ingrid Kolstad's going to be coming on March 3rd. We're going to talk about her 6 months, three trips to 6 months in Antarctica. She lived in Antarctica, the first girl I ever had a crush on in seventh grade. So we're going to have great shows around here. We have Super Bowl coverage we're going to have here in 2 weeks, one way or the other, I assure you. You can, of course, find us on Friday over at State Fair. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. The holiday cash drop tickets have a handful of these. We're going back to, and Billy, you'll love this, they have the Wishbone tickets, the old 1980s logo. It's the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. I'll have those tickets to give away by March 3rd when we get down to Drug City, where they also sell Maryland Lottery tickets. Our friends at Window Nation can still be reached at 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. You get 5 years of 0% financing. I think Bill Cole can offer that deal too on corporate roofs, I think. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive and Lamar Jackson. It's all Lamar all the time is what we do here.